take our First Peter. We're in chapter 5 this afternoon. We begin chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. First Peter 5 and verse 1. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. First Peter 5, 1, 2, and 3. Starting with verse number 1 together. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We read too many. Just first 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. The elders which are among you. What is an elder?
Bishop and a
pastor.
All right. Pastor, bishop, and elder. What is the office of the elder? What do they do as opposed to pastor and bishop? It's true that the pastor, bishop, elder is one office. What duties of the elder? What duties of the pastor? What duties as a bishop? What are the differences?
They look over the Christian flock.
Okay, an elder, presbyter. The word Presbyterian, they use the Presbyterian church for that, don't they? What does an elder? What does that mean?
He means an older person.
He's an older person, material in the Lord, older in the Lord, maybe also in years, but a seasoned in the Lord. An older person, mature, a mature Christian. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Do we have the phone with us for the computer? Do we have it somewhere?
We may not be able to have it.
Okay, please recall us if you want.
Later on, you can send it.
Go ahead and send it. Yeah, send it out. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. So an elder is a mature leader in the age, usually, and also mature in the Lord. As seasoned, the Lord knows the scriptures. So an elder. So we'll see all three offices there in the first three verses here. So we'll see. That's one of the reasons why I believe that the pastor, bishop, elder is one office with three different areas and duties. One office. I, elder, which are among you.
What did we decide? Does he have to be older? What did you say?
I think he should be mature in the age, but also mature in the faith, knowing the scriptures.
Okay.
It's a serious thing. When a young man goes into the ministry without any knowledge of things, life itself, as you know, there's other requirements for pastors, bishop, elder. What are some of the requirements found in Titus and found
one
in 1 Timothy? Husband and one wife. You've got to be married, see? Husband and one wife.
Children should be under control.
That's right. So these are areas that an elder, pastor, bishop, elder's got to maintain. And not a novice, and so different things. I looked it up, that he's fallen the condemnation of the devil. So, I exhort. What does that mean? I exhort.
Teach.
Admonish.
Admonish.
Warn.
All right, these are possible parallel. To exhort. To encourage, to warn, all these different things. To exhort. So he exhorts these Christians, these Jews, now they're saved, like that they're scattered abroad. So I'm also an elder. So he admits that he's an elder too, right? He's writing to elders.
Peter
is an elder, yes. Elder. Then what else is he in verse 1? Not only an elder, but what else?
Witness
to what?
Sufferings of Christ.
Of the grace. Where did he witness the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Calvary.
He was close to the judgment hall.
He was at the fire.
He might have seen the scourging, Lord Jesus, and whipping and beating and different things. Was he at Calvary?
No,
he didn't show up there. He left. But he probably saw at the judgment hall around the fire. He might have seen lots of sufferings, witnessed in that way. He says he was, so he must have seen something, right? Yeah,
he could have been from a distance to see Calvary.
Could be from a distance. because the Lord looked at him and he wept bitterly, remember? So he denied the Lord three times, as we know. Witness the sufferings of Christ. What was involved with the sufferings of Lord Jesus Christ?
Scourgings.
Scourgings is what? What else?
Crown of thorns.
Crown of thorns.
Outpouring of God's wrath.
Dragons.
Pardon me?
Yeah, outpouring of God's wrath.
Outpouring of God's wrath.
It didn't accept him. It
didn't accept him. That was suffering. What else?
Spitting.
Spitting on him.
He's mocked.
Mocked.
Ridiculed.
Ridiculed.
Forsaken.
Forsaken. But the greater suffering of all was what?
Oh, bearing the sins.
Bearing the sins of the whole world in his body. That was a great, great suffering for a sinless, spotless Savior to bear sins. Witness the suffering to Christ. Also, partaker of the glory to us. What does partaker mean?
Participant,
all right. Maybe recipient, partaker. Glory that shall be revealed. What's going to be revealed? What glory will be revealed?
Resurrection.
Oh, the resurrection? That's part of it. Did he see the Lord Jesus after he was raised from the dead?
Yeah.
Yes. Did the other apostles also see him?
Yeah.
Yes. So in some of our head shall be revealed. Is there another glory up the way that Peter will be involved with?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. The Lord Jesus will bring the millennial reign. The disciples will be with the Lord and reigning with him, as all of us with Christians will be. Yes, Father?
Well, he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes, he saw the glory there.
Yeah.
And in heaven, now if Peter's gone to heaven, he's seen the glory of Christ fully revealed. Henry?
Sorry, Pastor, I didn't mean to interrupt, but in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yes, that's a glory. What glory does that refer to? What glory would that be?
To be present with the Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord
in the
Jesus
new
Christ.
Body and never to sin.
Yes, Dan has something. I want to go to another verse. Where, Dan?
I have this text message from Sam, if I could find this, where he said, we get it to right. He says, please give our best to everyone gathered to the brothers and sisters gathering today. Sam McCormick.
Yes.
Text message.
That's way the
same. He and Karen are still under the weather with the flu. So.
I'm very sorry, Sam and Karen. We missed you this morning. We didn't know where you were, but I hope that you'll get better real quickly. Very quickly. All right. Speaking of the glory, Mr. Powell, in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus to the Father in chapter 17 of John, did he mention anything about glory there?
Mm-hmm.
John 17, what did he mention?
Glory to have the Father, isn't it?
Glory that I have with the Father.
Before
the world began. What?
I'm praying that
he would be glorified again.
Well, they will be witness where I am. I pray that they may witness her, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me from before the foundation of the world. Chapter 17, verse what?
Twenty-four.
Read that, please.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Yes, so glory by and by in heaven, beholding his glory, if the Christians living on this earth were to have the full glory of Christ, what would happen to them?
They would die.
They would die. Just like Moses, you know, saw the glory of God. He had to hide behind a cleft in the rock before his God passed. And then his face shone. It would die. See, but why, if we're in heaven with him, where he is, where you go with his glory, why will Christian saved people not die then?
Because we have different bodies, glorified bodies.
Glorified bodies. And?
were in Christ.
In Christ, and were with glorified bodies, resurrected bodies, that can contain all that. We could behold his face and see him as he is. Parts of the glory shall be revealed. And then in verse number 2, who does he address this to? Yeah, Anna got something. Go ahead, Anna.
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and to all our BFC church family. Thank you very much for this morning's message and for this afternoon's Bible study. We also thank Mr. Carroll, Mrs. Waite, and Kathy for their ministry and song. How we love to sing the beautiful hymns of the faith. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ richly bless you all. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. In his love, Carl and Vicki.
Carl and Vicki Albert over there in Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki. We'll wave to you. Appreciate your kind note to us and greetings. That's wonderful. So the question I think we have is, who is this addressed to, this feed, the flock of God?
The elders.
The elders, okay. What does feed mean?
To nourish.
Give food.
Nourish, give food. The Greek word for that is poinel. Poinel is shepherd, the flock. Feed, the flock. Be a shepherd.
For the feeding?
Shepherd, the flock. Yeah, but part of the shepherding is the feeding, in other words. So if an elder feeds the flock as a shepherd, that would be like a pastor, wouldn't it? Yes, ma'am. Pastor the flock. Yes, pastor the flock. That's right. Primarily, it should be a shepherd. The shepherd guides the flock and leads the flock and does various other things. So that's the second phase of these elders. They're the same people he's talking to. They're called elders, but one of the duties of the elder is to feed the flock. Now, if this would be a pastor, do all pastors feed their flock?
Yeah.
Should they feed the flock?
Yes.
They should.
Some pastors are not feeding the flock. They're not teaching the word of God. But,
they do their best, I guess.
Some do their best and some do their worst, I guess. We heard a TV this morning from a big stadium. David Jeremiah was speaking, and he gave a good message on it. But before he spoke, all kinds of din and banjos and yelling and screaming and this contemporary stuff. It was horrendous as far as I'm concerned. And then?
Lord Jesus Christ told this to Peter in John 21:17, and he said unto him, this is Peter speaking,
mm-hmm.
Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep.
Yes.
Which is back, in this verse, in verse 2, of chapter 5, it's feed the flock.
Mm-hmm. Feed the flock. So.
And he was told this himself.
Jesus told him.
Three times,
didn't he, John?
Mm-hmm.
Feed the flock, feed my sheep, feed three times. So, feeding, be a shepherd. The flock, who's the flock of God?
Christians.
Just nominal Christians?
No, believers.
No, all Christians.
All nominal Christians? Like the Roman Catholic?
No, they're Christians, are they? All Christians.
Do they consider themselves to be Christians?
Yes.
Roman Catholics consider themselves to be Christians?
They follow the Pope, though.
Oh, no, but do they consider themselves? Do they think they're Christians?
Bible-believing Christians.
Yeah.
Suppose someone thinks they're really, really smart, but they're not really, really smart. Does that mean that they're smart?
Or maybe it's just a certain type of Baptist is the flock.
Well,
perhaps.
I'm trying to make this point because are there people that call themselves Christians that are not born again and saved?
Yes,
right.
I think
the woods are full of them. Whether it's the modernistic church across the street or some Presbyterian churches, various other types of churches that are lost and unbelieving. They call themselves quote unquote Christians. But the flock here, as Tammy said, born again Christians, saved Christians.
Well, there's been a lot of terminology confusion, especially within the Roman Catholic Church, and they'll use the term born again and they'll mean something entirely different. So you have to actually ask them very specifically what they mean by being born again.
Yes.
And,
very good point. So, saved, genuinely believing in Christ and redeemed. So, all kinds of confusion. For instance, we read,
Well, when I went to Bible school,
and we did street meetings and things. The Catholics, they didn't say they were Christian, they were Catholic. Then somehow or other, after I grew up in this area, I think, they start saying they're Christian. That really makes me so confused.
That's confusing.
And I say, you saved? Yes. Are you born again? Yes. But like Kathy says, I don't mean Kathy, but whoever took Anna.
Tammy. You'll get it in a minute.
Yes, eventually. Like she said, you have to really question them. Even when you question them. So it's very, it's happened, I guess, with Pope John or something.
Yes. In Nigeria and other places where the quote-unquote Christians are being burned and killed, are they necessarily born again saved?
Small C Christians.
Small C. But you see, they use that term, so it's a widely used term. When the people in the statistics say that in the United States we have so many percent that are Christian, what does that mean?
In a generic sense.
Generic sense.
Call themselves Christian.
Call it so, yeah, rather than being atheists or rather being Jews or Muslims, but it's a different thing. But what was the word term, when was the term first used in Scripture?
Antioch.
Antioch. What does the verse say?
For Christians
are
Antioch.
Antioch, that's right.
That was
and
a slur, I guess.
Well, it was a slur.
Little Christ.
Yes, a little Christ, but Christio is what it was. In other words, they're very fine people. But anyway, flock of God. Pardon me?
They were making fun of him, I think.
Yes, there was sort of a slur when they said it. The flock of God, which is among you, is that a local church?
Yes.
That'd be a local church among you, like the people are right now and feed them.
Black.
Does that mean feed them food, do you think?
No. Spiritual food.
What does it say in, is it 1 Peter 2:2 or is it 2 Peter 2? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes,
desire
sincere, milk of the word,
that you may grow up in your life.
Is it 2:2 of 1 Peter, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is it 2 Peter 2?
No, 1 Peter.
I think
1 Peter chapter 2.
Okay. So there's a nourishment that comes from feeding on the Word of God. And so this feeding. Then the next part, what are these elders who are also pastors, feeders, shepherds? What's the third thing that they're doing, verse number 3?
Verse number 2.
Thank you.
I don't know what...
Taking the oversight.
What's the Greek word for oversight?
Bishop.
In English, it's bishop, that's right. What's the Greek word?
Episcopos.
That's right, you got that. Episcopos. Episcopos, see, and that's the word that's used for bishops even today. The Episcopal Church has bishops. Roman Catholic has bishops. What does oversight mean?
Being a manager?
Manager, that's right, an overseer. What do you mean, overseer, taking the oversight? Episcopos. Epi is a pond, or over, scopa, over is to see. Scopos. Epi scopos. It's to see or oversee things so that the church is run properly and decently and in order. And so here these same elders are told to feed or pasture the flock, and taking the oversight of being the bishop of the flock as well. So this is a 3-in-1. And this, we take this plus in Acts chapter 20. We have the same 3. The elders at Ephesus are told to feed or shepherd. They're told to take the oversight. So these two passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter 5, 1-2, we see that there are one office, but 3 different duties in that office. Pastor, bishop, and elder. And a lot of churches don't agree with the Bible on that, but I think it's very clear and very good. So, taking oversight. Now, what does oversight mean?
A manager,
okay. Are things that in churches that need oversight?
Yes.
Are things that happen and there should be leadership and oversight type of get by?
When they have big church buildings, there's a lot of oversight just on the building.
Yeah, that's true.
But here, this they probably have house churches.
Probably house churches.
They probably need to help the hostess to get things
right. Certain things that would help and make things decently and in order. I think that's the pertinent thing, decently, the oversight thereof. Now, what is the method of oversight in verse 2?
Pastor.
for what is not the method?
Not by force.
Not by force, constraint. Now, what does that include? Force and anything else?
It's compulsion, obligation.
Compulsion, obligation. In other words, when the overseer is doing his work as an elder and a pastor, he's not to have constraint. How does the action of constraint take place on people?
Is it the elder that's not supposed to constrain others, or is it that he's not supposed to be constrained?
Well, I think it would modify the principle of taking, would it not, Tammy? Feed the flock, taking the oversight, and feed not by constraint, maybe taking the oversight not by constraint. What's the second thing? We get that second one, then we go back to this first one. What's the second thing that this overseer is?
Willingly.
All right, so there's a negative.
At first, the constraint, according to the footnote, means compulsion, force, obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, you're not supposed to feel obligated. If you don't want to do it, you don't do it. Is that what I mean?
Well,
but then willingly, that's two opposite things.
Yes, but possibly, that's right. He's not to be pushed into it, but he's not probably to push others in that sense. Don't you think? It may be his own feeling. That could be entirely possible. He's not being forced into it, but he's got to be. What's the next thing?
Willingly.
What does willingly mean?
Just the opposite.
The opposite of being like
a obligation.
Obligation. In other words, nobody's forcing them to do this. They're wanting to do this.
Something you want to do.
And willingness to operate properly. What's another negative that is not to be done as a pastor, bishop, elder, worker? In verse 2. What is filthy lucre?
Money.
That's money.
Money.
Do some pastors, bishops, elders have a lot of money and others don't have too much money?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's some of the pastor, bishops, elders in this world, all over the world, that might be in that because of the money that they receive?
Absolutely.
That's certainly possible. What about the evangelists on television? So, are they quite well-to-do?
Yeah.
Quite a few of them are, aren't they?
Some of them.
I'm talking about some of them, yes. What is the income of some of the televangelists? What sort of houses do they live in?
Oh, mansions.
Mansions? Bill, do you have any statistics on the televangelists and their income?
I don't have any statistics, no, but I know some of them are pretty bad. Mike Murdoch is probably the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He's
an evangelist. Is he on the television?
Yes.
Dan?
But do those people, do they fall under this category, of bishops and pastors, teachers that are ministering to genuinely born again and saved Christians that are...
No.
Probably not.
For the most part. I mean, there may be some people that are part of their congregation, but I would think the majority of them are probably very thin.
What does it mean, the expression, fleecing the flock? What does that mean, fleecing the flock?
Stealing their money.
Stealing their money. Okay.
What? Taking off the coat of the sheep.
The coat of the sheep, so they can sell it for the money. Bill.
The reason I mentioned Mike Murdoch, and there's another one named Todd Kuntz, the reason I mention them in particular is when they're on television almost every day,
mm-hmm.
they never preach from the Bible. Occasionally they'll go for a verse from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but the whole thing that they are teaching people to do is to give money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give money, you're planting seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be rewarded from God. Now, that's the entire show. And they're talking about that from the time the show begins to the time the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's no message there. I've never heard them use the word salvation at all.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably the two worst, the most, the two biggest shysters in the business.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bill, for that. What do the people who televangelists exert, for example, Do they promise the people that give them anything?
Yes, they do.
What do they promise them?
They say that God will reward you many times over, and you will get your money back many times over.
Mm-hmm. So does that always pan out? Does it always pan out?
I kind of doubt it, but they're on usually on what's called camp meeting on Ion television almost every night.
Mm-hmm. Why is this called Filthy Luther, do you think?
Because it's manipulation.
What?
You know, they're manipulating the people, and the people, if the people gave money, it would be used for a lot of purposes, not for honoring the Lord.
What? Yeah, huh?
But there is a time when people are supposed to get the Lord's work, and if the preacher doesn't receive a salary, he won't be able to feed his family,
mm-hmm.
or he has to go out and work. We read about one of those preachers from the olden times in Virginia this morning.
That's one of the Baptist ministers.
Yeah, he needed to pay some bills and feed his family, and he did. And somebody owed him, I guess, money or something. He owed money, I guess. I forget how it went.
And he didn't want to push the people, so he prayed.
He prayed.
The Lord, please.
And then he gave the people a receipt.
I don't have that for my... Did the Lord answer his prayer?
He gave them a receipt for money he didn't get. And the man was so guilty, he gave him the money.
He gave him the money. The Lord answered that prayer.
But,
in the proper biblical giving, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2, what is the mindset for giving in Christian sense?
Cheerful giving.
Right? That man gathered the first day of the week, lay aside, gathered like him, as God hath blessed. God loveth thee, and you say, cheerful giving. So this is willingly, and so he doesn't want the pastor, bishop, elder to do his ministry for the purpose for money or publicity. But what is the positive thing he should do? Yeah, Bob, first?
In the Old Testament, during the captivity and all like that, and because you read about this in the prophets,
mm-hmm.
and in the different history books, the priests didn't, nobody was tithing, no one was doing anything, and the priests were having a hard time. Remember, they did most everything, and
mm-hmm.
the whole... spiritual life of the Israelites went to pieces because people were not tithing their crops and tithing this and everything to supply the needs of the Levites and the priests.
Yes. In the Old Testament, is there a command, an order from God as to what they're to give?
Yes.
And so what was it?
10%.
10%. They give more, but minimum 10%. Everybody. Is there a command in the New Testament, exact amount of what people are given?
No.
What is the command in 1 Corinthians 16, as we said earlier? Let every man lay aside, first day of the week, as God hath prospered them. And so, that's the difference between the law of Moses, command, beginning, and the New Testament, as God hath prospered. So, not for filthy lucre, but what's this next thing saying mean?
Ready mind.
What is a ready mind?
It's prepared.
Prepared, okay. That's acquired willingness, isn't it? A ready mind and prepared to do what you're supposed to do, serving the Lord as pastor, bishop, elder, all these days. All right. Any other questions or comments on two? Yes,
Tiffany, for sure. I don't know. Some people, by their giving, you think they would have nothing. They have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they get... I know this is one of my pet peeves. Yet they have things. They have cars. They have new this or that.
Mm-hmm.
This and everything. And they give nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Except they receive everything.
That's true. Let's see what Brad Bunnygrad, Chicago. Hi, Rob.
That's right, everybody. I'm a TV evangelist for Angeles' biggest empire, Trinity Broadcasting Network. Paul Crash, he died about 2 weeks ago, 79, and they put his estimates at about $1 billion.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. He had private jets, 13 mansions, and $100,000 mobile home for the dog. People on there, like, he features Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, and people with a semblance of sound doctrine, but not really. Jack Van Impe and Al Lindsey have been on his channel before, but he's got the Daystar network that goes all over the world. I think it's in every country now. And people just give money left and right. But he was, some people estimated in his death about 2 weeks ago that it was about $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the
statistics.
Crouch, right? Paul Crouch. He was the one that sang
Hard Trinity. He started Trinity.
She's kind of like Tammy Faye Baker's. They're similar to the Baker's.
Uh-huh.
There's all the makeup.
It's a circus. Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Rob. Let's wave to Rob over there in Chicago. Good to see you, Rob. Thank you very much for those statistics. We need that. He keeps up on all that. Bill, I'm glad for somebody who's got $1 billion, $5 billion for poor creatures. All right.
How many of these people thought that they were buying their salvation?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think some of them might think that?
Sure.
Yeah.
They were sending money.
Yeah.
Thinking that was going to get them to heaven.
Yes.
They're in for a rude awakening.
Rude awakening. Mm-hmm. Money won't buy it, would it? Neither silver nor gold. As much as you're not redeemed, 1 Peter 1:18, with what?
Corruptible things
of silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but
for
the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Very important, Yvonne.
See, people are hungry. People. Some Christians are hungry to be fed, and unbelievers are hungry to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they go to their local church. Maybe they don't, but the only place they seem to feel some response to are some of these programs. And so because they're happy with what they're getting, they give.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of sad, but either the home church is not feeding them, or I don't know what it is. Some people don't go to church at all, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
Well, like
the emotional appeal.
Like that joke we mentioned this morning about the pastor needing $4,000 for the building program and the church or whatever it was, and he thought maybe people could maybe give $100 and I'll just stand up and start saying a prayer.
Stand up in the organist.
We'll give $100.
I respect it. $100.
It comes down to a lot of people want experience. They believe that these televangelists can heal them of whatever illness they have,
mm-hmm.
Or they can acquire a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like people who gamble a lot. They don't really have the money to afford their gambling, but they're addicted to it, and they just mm-hmm. keep doing it over and over again.
That's right. Does the pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church plead for money? Has the Lord supplied the money?
Yes,
he has. I can't understand it, but he has. Going around the Bible, verse on giving, so we speak about generally speaking, how the Lord can supply the needs. We praise God for it. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Then in verse number 3, there's some other clarification of the pastor, bishop, and elder. By the way, does the pastor of the Bible pray about the church a billionaire? Is he a billionaire? All right. I just wanted to get that note. Just want to clarify. All right, verse number 3. Neither.
Sometimes people think you are.
Sometimes people think maybe they are. I don't know. I don't know who thinks
that. If you did have $1 billion, then why are we still meeting in this small room?
Exactly, this small room, this church in my house.
He likes the small room.
Where do you park your Cadillac Escalade?
Yeah, that's a good question. Am I hiding it?
You must be.
Okay, I'll go in my toilet. All right. Now the next part, yes, huh? We read first.
You go to your what?
To go with the
Toyota. Go with my, our Vespa. Not Vespa. What do we have?
Toyota.
Did I say Toyota or Vespa?
Yeah, Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota. Okay. Toyota then. No, I don't see that. So we... verse 3, what does neither mean? What's the force of neither?
Not this either.
All right. That's like an order, isn't it? In other words, you have this and this and this and that. And finally, he's adding some other things that we're not to do, these pastors, bishops, and elders. What are they not to do in verse number 3?
Lord over God's heritage.
What does that mean, to be lords over God's heritage? What does that mean?
Bossy.
In charge.
Proud.
In charge of. Proud. Dictatorial. Who are these God's heritage? Oh, Tammy, I'm sorry. Scratch your head. What are these words, God's heritage?
You can't scratch your head.
I had to look at it as a hand up, and I never know if people touch their nose or their head. What is God's heritage here?
He's given a foundation, and they cannot have control over that.
Okay.
Only God is giving a foundation. They can't say you're saved or you're not saved.
What would God's heritage mean, do you think?
The church.
The church, the believers, the saved people, and what's
saved? I think the footnote says inheritance.
God's heritage means inheritance. That's true. And who would be God's inheritance?
Believers. Especially in their church.
In their church, that's all. Don't be lords over God's heritage. What does it mean to be a lord? Well, I think we mentioned, but repeat it a little bit.
Bossy. In charge.
Master in charge, dictatorial, arrogant. Pardon
me? Like the Pope.
Like the Pope, yes. And overlapping. But what is the other way instead of that? Needless, but what is should be done in verse 3?
Examples.
Examples. What is an example?
An example.
Example, all right. Who's the flock here?
Same flock
as up in verse 2, isn't it? Feed the flock. Saved, born again Christians to whom they're ministry. And examples, what does it take to be an example or an example? What is required? How do you get that way? How do you do that?
Have your own life.
Have your own life, all right.
Instructions are in the Bible.
Instructions in the Bible, follow them.
So you should have to know your Bible.
Know your Bible, be good examples. Should actually all saved, born again Christians also be examples?
Mm-hmm.
To other believers?
Mm-hmm.
They should be examples, shouldn't they? Where do you find out how to be an example? That's Joanne said. Where do you find it?
The Bible.
There's no other place. And does President Obama know what it is to be an example?
Yes.
Do the people in government to say that it's all right to have same-sex marriages? Is that where did they get that? Did they get that from the Bible?
No.
Sinful self. So, but in the scriptures, and samples to what? What does somebody say? I'd rather see than be one.
Do you
want to
see a purple
cow? Is that what it is?
Is that it?
Yeah. You recite that for us, huh?
Well,
I don't know why I came up with that.
I know it real well.
Do you know it?
I can look it up. Do you ever see a purple cow? All I know is I'd rather see than be one.
Okay. There's another one that says...
That's great.
Talking the walk and walking the talk is another thing, am I right? You can talk about being an example, but what does Paul say about being an epistle of Christ? Read in order of all men. Now,
I never saw a purple cow. I never hope to see one, but I can tell you anyhow, I'd rather see than be one.
Okay. Now, I guess people can talk, but they don't necessarily walk. Can you tell somebody about an example or what an example is yet without being one yourself? Is it possible?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you can tell people this is what you should do, this. But so what does that mean, the walking the talk and talking the walk?
Doing what you said.
Pardon me?
Doing what you say.
That's right. Being a person of your word and not just talking about it, but walking, as you say, examples to the flock. Why does a flock need a sample from these pastors, bishops, and elders today?
They're sheep.
A sheep?
They follow others.
They follow others? It's good to see, is it not? Somebody told me recently that they liked this person because that person to them was an example of what a Christian should be. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? So people that have that testimony of you, that's an encouraging thing, isn't it? The person that's an example may not know that this, but the person who identifies that person as an example and encouragement, that's an important thing. And samples to the flock. Let's read 4, 5, and 6 together.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder.
Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be bold with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I verse 4, the chief shepherd. Who is that referring to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. How many different kinds of shepherds are there in the Bible? 3, right? What are they?
The good shepherd, the great shepherd,
and
the chief
shepherd.
Who do they all refer to?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a false shepherd. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus.
Oh, okay.
3 different titles. What was he as a good shepherd?
It was in John.
John. He's a good shepherd. He lives by his
sheep.
And what's the great shepherd?
Hearing, the great shepherd and Peter.
The chief shepherd. See, what does the great and the chief refer to?
The great shepherd isn't that his
great shepherd
hearing.
Is like him.
Added to is an appearing or
his great shepherd.
Is there a verse about the great shepherd?
In Hebrews, I think. The great shepherd of the sheep. The last part of Hebrews, is not Hebrews is 13, what is it?
Yeah, 13, 20.
13, read that for us.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Yes, could be that the great shepherd of the sheep, after his resurrection, he's living at the right hand of the Father, maybe his present help to the saved, to the people who know the Lord. And then what would this chief shepherd be? The great shepherd would be as resurrected in glory at the right hand of the Father, as a great high priest to the saved. What would the chief shepherd here refer to?
As
appearing, as setting up the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, he'd be the chief. The chief shepherd shall appear. So that's his appearing. That's in the future. So these are some people who've met these different things. And the Lord Jesus is all 3. So what is a shepherd supposed to do?
Takes care of the
sheep.
All right. In John chapter 10, there's another kind of a shepherd. Who is that? It's not very good.
The bad shepherd. The
hireling. Okay, what does the hireling do that the shepherd does not do?
He abandons the sheep.
He abandons. When she's the wolf comes, he leaves the sheep. But the good shepherd stays with him and protects. So he's the chief shepherd, and he's coming again, glorious appearing. What's going to happen when the chief shepherd shall appear? In verse 4.
And receive a crown of glory.
Right, that's one of the crowns, isn't it? One of the crowns of glory. These are saved people that have crowns that fadeth not away. What does that mean?
It always glows.
Always glows and never is dull. So there's rewards.
It's eternal.
Right, now, it seems like if this is all in context with the good pastor, the bishop, the elder, doing right, not doing wrong, all these positives and negatives in verses 2 and 3 and 4, seems like a faithful pastor, bishop, elder will receive the crown of glory for faithful ministering to the flock as pastor, bishop, elder. Don't you think that's the context of it? It's a tremendous thing. How many crowns are mentioned in the scripture?
Five
crowns. That's right. And our girl, R-G-I-R-L, we remember him, R-G-I-R-L. What is the R?
Rejoicing.
Oh, yeah. Three, crown of glory. I?
Incorruptible.
Incorruptible crown. R, again, another R.
Righteousness.
And
life.
L, crown of life. So these crowns, this seems to be the pastor, bishop, elders, faithful, serving the Lord. This is the crown that he will receive. Let me ask you this. Are there any women pastors going to receive anything?
No.
Does the Bible teach about anything about women pastors? Bishops and elders?
They should not be.
They should not be. Exactly right. But thousands of them right now in different churches in our country. Thousands. I don't know what the total is, but last I heard it's 1,200 in different denominations, and they're rising up over and over. Southern Baptist, even Presbyterian Church, USA, different ones, Methodist, anyway, crown of glory that faded not away.
I think it's in the Gospels that says, he that receiveth the righteous man with righteousness reward, and he that, the whole idea is somehow, you know, if you're supporting your pastor, you could somehow participate in that crown. Is that correct or not?
Okay, that's possible. That's possible. All right, so that's part of the crown that they're receiving in Florence, I thought. Also, in the same way, who are these younger people? It says ye younger. Who would be involved with the younger?
It could be younger in age, younger in knowledge
of the scripture. And what might we put as far as the time, the age of these young? What do you think might be a possibility? Just a guess. How would you guess?
Well, like you're young married.
All right, could be.
Or
any age?
Teenager.
All right, teenager be younger.
I would say 35.
Should be younger.
Yeah.
35, maybe younger. What are these youngers to be in verse number 5? What's this word submit mean? Listen to and
be
obedient to?
Yeah.
To who? To whom?
The
elder. So what would be the younger, what would be the elder? I mean, roughly, does this necessarily your parents?
Your parents are always...
Always elder.
Right.
That's, better be, absolutely.
That's what my mother used to say to me, no matter how old I got.
Is it restricted to parents, you think? Or should there be a kind relationship between younger and elder?
Older.
Right. Yeah. Sam? I mean, Ron?
I don't think... you got to remember, too, that back in those days... when they got married, the girls were their teenagers or in their early 20s, so it could be quite young on here those days.
All right. Tammy?
I don't really know what I could say.
What's the next part of verse 5? It said, yea, all of you do what?
Submit one to another.
Submit or something one to another. Now, in what sense should that be? Light submission or heavy submission? Light or heavy?
Heavy.
I
think it's heavy.
Think so?
Submit, heavy. They didn't say, they didn't use a little word like, you know, like, I don't know, I can't think of a little word for submit, but submit is a big word to me.
Yes, the subject, what would that be? Light or heavy? Subject on the light. Could you use the word respect?
Defer to other people to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It is lighter. That's true. But we're trying to get the meaning behind that.
When it's not in contradiction with the scriptures, you can defer to other people.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want to do that when, obviously, when they're not leading in the right direction or they're not going in the right direction.
Right. There is a... an age different here where there should be submit. In other words, not that you obey, but you submit, you have to be subject. In other words, there's a Doesn't mean necessarily you have to agree with the elder that's telling you this something who's younger, but you bottom line, you don't argue back and forth. Do the school district, Philadelphia, for example, practice this for the younger and the teachers who are elders?
Oh,
I've been there for 19 years and they don't submit to their parents and they don't submit to the teachers and it's just wild.
We have a whole generation.
Yes, and that's following Dr. Spock and all of his suggestions and different things. That's why, one of the reasons I taught in Philadelphia, because I got combat pay, extra hazardous duty. I went to Philadelphia instead of New Jersey. New Jersey's salaries were much lower, and Philadelphia was high, but I deserved it because it's combat pay. It's rigorous.
You were prepared
being a Navy man. Being a Navy man, I was somewhat prepared, that's right. But I tell you, the first week or two, I don't know, I would come back. I'd lie down flat on my back in the bed. I'd talk to her, say, when's it going to end? After a while, I got used to it and I was all right. But I tell you, these kids were racked and ruined. It's a horrible situation. I'm sure they're the same for their parents. They didn't respect their teachers. I was trying to teach them something, believe it or not. And I have a few things I can teach in the subject of English. It was almost an impossibility. All right, and by the way, the ones who are teaching the teachers in their schools, their educational schools, the faculties, are the very teachers that don't know how to teach. They teach other teachers how to teach when they don't know how to teach themselves. It's a sad thing. But anyway, heard that command. Sample to the fox, teach your procedure, submit one to another, and all of you be subject one to another. What does that mean? All of you be subject one to another. All, who's the one, everyone referred to? Everyone?
The other believers.
Other believers, other saved Christians. What does it mean, subject one to another? In what sense?
Respect.
Respect, probably respect, and not be fighting. Or we may not agree with everyone's fellow believers, but we could sort of talk and visit and bear right to their opinion, or right to your opinion. So that in a sense, not to be fighting and carrying on all the time, but there are things on which we differ. Different Christians differ and differ sometimes widely. But if the saved and born again, we have to understand there are these differences and we just go on ahead. They can do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe, and you can believe what you want to believe and go on. But there's respect, and certainly in the sense of not, I think, fighting and carrying on and anger and bitterness. What's the next part mean? Close with humility. What's humility? What is humility?
Being humble.
Being humble, okay.
Treating others better than yourself.
Oh, consider others better than yourself, even though they may be worse than yourselves, you consider them better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are worse, but you consider them better, in other words, that's humility.
Yep.
What is that statement about humility that sometimes we say? I'm humble and I'm proud of it. Remember that? I'm humble and I'm proud of it. That's a contradiction. A lot of times people, I say that sometimes, it's inherent in humor, but clothed. What does it mean, clothed? What's that?
Covered,
okay, just like we put on our coats and our hats and our shirts and everything, our clothes. Why do you suppose that figure of speech is used instead of some other?
Because it completely covers you.
Completely covers you. What else?
If you put on the prudence, or put on, there's a place in Colossians that talks about putting on.
All right.
Putting off
the flesh. I suppose the clothes here referring to the clothes that are in your closet?
No.
Or the clothes that are on your back?
No.
So
the
people can't see your humility. You wear the clothes.
Well, you wear the clothes.
People see your clothes.
Yeah. So in other words, there's something here. If you're clothed with humility, everywhere you go in your clothes, you're an example. Yes. Is that right? It's not the clothes in your closet.
No,
they couldn't be clothes.
An attitude.
You're to be clothed.
Yeah.
An attitude, yes. Okay. Clothed with humility. Four. What does that word four refer to? What does that mean? Four in verse number five.
Because.
Because. That's right, Kathy. Because. For God resisteth the proud. What does resist mean?
Pushes against.
Pushes against.
Fight.
Fights against. Right? Resists.
Yeah.
The proud. Now, who are the proud? Talk about the humility. Who are the proud?
The ones fired up.
What does the Old Testament say about pride?
Pride and
before destruction. The Holy Spirit before a fall. What does it say about Satan and pride?
Proud.
Proud. Now she'd be lifted up like the devil and fall from you. So the devil was proud. And giveth grace to the humble. What does grace mean in that sense? Giveth grace to the humble.
It's probably easy to be proud. Like if
you simple.
Something.
Anybody can do it.
So that's why
pump yourself up.
We have to put on humility and push the proud.
Yes, that's right there. Yeah.
You put it on because the proud is all there. You have to cover it over.
Yeah. Pride is very easy to come by, isn't it?
Yes.
Humility sometimes is not so easy. It's not so easy. Not as natural. You like to be the head. Yes, yes.
At job, from my experience, when I have a meeting with my boss, and boss tells me what you accomplished and what you did, and then I have to kind of go like, what I did, and like kind of exaggerate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. I don't have to be say nothing.
So it's hard for the boss to touch you, right? Very good. Yes, hello. I see, just a minute, I gotta get my. Yes, hello.
Yes, Dr. Wade Bonnet-Wall.
Bonnet-Wall from California. Yes, Bonnet.
I just wanted to say humility. I've got a definition one. If living within one's means.
That sounds good. Living within one's means.
Oh.
Yes. Good. Well, thanks.
Thanks
for
the Bible study.
Thank you, Brother. Let's wave to Von Walls, wave from California. She's a faithful helper to our ministry through the years, many years. She used to be a teacher. Now she's no longer teaching. She's been in the classroom for many years, teaching children. So, now, Kathy,
It'll stop.
Yes, Kathy,
I don't know. I'm catching the meaning correctly, but at job, you have to say what you accomplished, and I don't know. I don't say anything to my boss. I didn't, you know. I'm not trying to. I mean, it's just not me. Like at job,
mm-hmm.
You have to report what you did and what you're planning to do. Things like that. That seems like being proud.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I shouldn't say anything.
More difficult to do, but I guess if the boss wants to know what you've been doing, I guess you have to tell him.
But you have to pump yourself up like that. If you're not going to do that,
they're going to look down on you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. I mean, you know,
that's the reality.
You have to do
that. You can tell the truth, you don't lie, add to things and so on. But
you have to. You have to say good things about yourself, or he has a job and nobody else is going
job
to
do it. Yeah.
You don't want to say, like, oh, I'm not good at that. You're not going to get that job.
Here's the answer. Yes, hello.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Dr. Wade is everyone.
Yes.
Jonathan. He doesn't have the answer.
Yes, go ahead, Jonathan.
Leon.
I'm Leon.
I do think that in your Bible study, and wanted to say how. Nice the service was this morning, and especially Mrs. Waits. She looked very, very good today, sounded very good with the many different plants and shrubs with that piece.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say how lovely the music was and how lovely Mrs. Waits looked this morning.
Yes.
I was
sure
that wasn't a 20-year-old tape.
A 20-year-old tape. She looks very nice for her age, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan, I have a question. When are you coming for your hat? Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
What is he wearing to keep his head warm?
Let's wave to Leanne and Jonathan. Leanne and Jonathan and Philip. Well, where were we? I forget.
Pride. Well, we were talking about when you want to get a job, you tell what you know how to do, or if you're trying to keep your job or be rewarded for your job. Mm-hmm. But there must be a happy medium there, I